it while you can enjoy it and appreciate the fact that it gets better for us from here.
Amen.
All right. Psalms chapter 5 is where we left off just the other day, that this is an important part of a worship service. And I've always gravitated toward Psalm 100. Father, bless your word and help us this morning. Thank you for all these folks coming in already for Sunday school. Please bless us this day, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I've always gravitated toward you entering into his sanctuary with praise and thanksgiving. But there's an important thing to recognize, that if we would realize that we're to enter into the worship of the Lord with fear and trembling, it might change the attitude at which we come to church. Instead of always being laughing and cutting up, which is fine, and then enjoying and expecting to be good things, to recognize that David says here in Psalms chapter number 5, look in verse number 7, "But as for me, I will come into the house of the Lord, the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." In other words, what he's saying to him there is when I come in, it's not I'm afraid not to worship, and so I'm staying away. It's I don't want to get away from him, so I'm coming in because I fear that I'm going to depart from him if I don't. I used on Wednesday night the illustration that the old preacher said, many people oftentimes when it comes to eternal security, one of the things that they deal with is they look at their personal life and they realize they're doing some things in the flesh. Come to Galatians 5 real quick. And in Galatians chapter number 5, you find out some things that you can do and still be saved. And individuals will have a tendency, if they're doubting if a person is saved, they look at your physical life. If you look at your physical life, there'll be a point in time in your life where you're going to find yourself in this passage. This passage has nothing to do with your salvation.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter number 5, he says the works of the flesh in verse number 19 are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. All right, well, you can find yourself in there at some point in time in your life, and when you see those things show up, it doesn't mean you're lost, it means you're out of fellowship. And so what happens is if you get to looking too hard at that, you get to thinking to yourself, well, how could somebody do that and be lost, and be saved? Well, the old preacher used to say on a regular basis, he would say, put your Bible up for about 2 or 3 weeks, and stop praying for about 2 or 3 weeks, and quit going to church for 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll find out how people can do what they're doing now, and you're capable of doing everything that's listed in that passage. And you say, I would never do that. Well, that's because you're in fellowship right now. What would it take to break that fellowship? Sometimes it's not just wickedness. Sometimes the pressures of life. Sometimes financial pressure. Sometimes difficulty. Come, if you will, please, to Psalms chapter number 2. So what you have to recognize is that you need the local church to keep you in fellowship, and to recognize you need to be around people who love the Lord and believe the book and are doing what should be done in order to keep your fellowship there, but it's not your salvation. But when was the last time you came in and were coming into the Lord where you're going to worship Him and say, I'm afraid of the Lord, that's why I'm going to worship Him. Not afraid that I'm going to run from Him, I'm afraid so I'm going to run to Him. The fear of the Lord, what? I want to run to Him. I want to stay in good favor with Him. I want to stay close to Him. The old preacher used to describe, you say, well, you use that a lot. Well, if it works, it doesn't matter who said it. If it's a good thing, you should utilize that. The old preacher used to say this. He said, I had to learn a long time ago, and he said, I actually learned it from my dad. He said, my dad used a strap that was around a steamer locker, and he said the thing was about 6 feet long. And he said, when I would come in, and he said, I'd get out there, and my dad would get me by the hand, and he'd hold me like this, and I'd keep trying to pull away from him. And he said he was able to really get out there and get at it. He said, I learned pretty quick that if I got in there close to him, he said it was kind of hard for him to to be able to. That's a lot of wisdom.
Amen.
If you think about that. Well, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, right? All right, well, if I got one coming, I'd rather be close to him than far away from him. I don't want to give him a full move, a full stroke at it. I mean, I'd rather be up there close to him. But isn't it hard to run to the Lord when you're in trouble? Isn't it hard to run to the Lord when you've messed up? But isn't that what he says to you? Doesn't he say, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. Isn't that what he says? He encourages you to come even if you got one coming. So the thing you have to recognize is the fear of the Lord is I don't want to get way out there where he can really get a swat at me. I want to get in there close to him. Look at this passage in Psalms chapter number 2. Pick it up in verse number 7, I guess it is here. No, it's 11. All right, 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with
fear.
And what?
Rejoice.
And don't forget the rejoice, but don't. What's the last part of that? That's shaking. That's trembling. Belteshazzar over there when he's, Belshazzar, when he's in the temple and the handwriting of the Lord comes out there. Do you remember what happens? The Bible says he begins to shake and to tremble and his knees are knocking together. That's being that afraid of the Lord. Well, when you get the proper concept of what the Lord is, then all of a sudden you'll realize, 2 Samuel, you'll realize he's not somebody to be all lovey-dovey with. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Moses says to the people over there, don't fear the Lord. He's bringing you together to fear him. That's in Exodus 20. He said, don't be afraid to come into the Lord. There's at the bottom of the mountain there. Moses, you talk to him. And he said, don't be afraid of the Lord. He's drawing you close to fear him. You say, well, that kind of, it's the opposite. No, it's don't be too afraid to get close to him because he's going to teach you to stay away from sin, to live a clean life, to live a right thing. If you have the right fear of God, you know what it'll do? It'll cure you of your sin problem. I don't believe that it's just because your flesh is weak. I believe the reason that we sin is clearly because we've made a choice to not fear God. You don't fear His reprisals.
Yes, sir.
You take His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering. You take that as, oh, well, He's always going to be that. Well, what if all of a sudden one day He comes in and says, I've had enough of that. He said, unto this man will I look. This is in Isaiah 66, 22. To this man will I look unto, him that trembleth at my words. You know what that's done for me? Just that verse, I highlighted it in my Bible. You know what that's done for me? That's made for me in my Bible reading. I pick up my Bible and I realize I just kind of did it sometimes because I had to do it or I had to study or I think it's a good habit to get into, but I didn't really tremble at it. Even the verses that he winds up giving to me, you ever had the Lord do that to you? You ever had the Lord where you're reading and all of a sudden something jumps out at the page and you know that's the Lord talking to you? Do you tremble at that? Do you think if the Lord took the time to point out a verse of Scripture to you and say, thou art the man, that you ought to have your knees knocking together?
Amen.
Man, Lord, if you've gone out of your way to speak to me like that, do you tremble at that? That's God talking to you.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's really God talking to you, if it really is, what would be more important than that? What do you have going on in your life right now is more important than God speaking to you, the one that made you. The one that without even thinking just spoke and star clusters come into and galaxies and planets and hangs the earth on nothing and puts the sun and everything is in just literally perfect order. Can't get it out of order and stuff like that. Otherwise the whole thing, that pew you're sitting on would come apart. The Lord's got everything in perfect order. That's the one speaking to you. And we don't listen. Tremble means I'm listening. Lord, you got my attention. Good. Well, I'm looking at you. You have respect for me and you fear me, I'm going to talk to you. The secret is with those that the secrets of the Lord are with those that fear Him. You ever need light on something? You ever need God to show you something you're not sure about what to do, when to do? How, I'm talking about major decisions. I mean things, you know, I'm not just talking about should I turn right or left or should I go straight or whatever and all that. The GPS is messed up or, you know, sunspot blew it out and now you can't find yourself. You're going to be in such a mess, man, if all of a sudden a sunspot comes along and some of you have to use a map. You're going to be looking for us old people. You're saying, what do we do with this thing? You know, it's called a map. It used to be a street guide. I mean, I didn't come in the days where you didn't know where you were going. I came up in the days where you had a street guide that had the little curlicues on it. And so they'd give you a call. It's a hot call. Alert tone gone off. Somebody's getting killed. Somebody's getting hurt. Somebody's getting banged up. Bad guys are present and all that. And you're supposed to be, you know, the Lone Ranger, high-o silver. I got to get there. You can light it up, man, and turn on the siren. It's kind of like, I don't know how to get there. You're just sitting there with the blue lights and the siren going. You say, yeah, because you have to find that. And then you go to this street and you turn right and you turn left. You think you're looking at your phone now. You don't have anybody talking to you. You're looking at the thing and then you drive a little bit. Then you slow down. Then you drive a little bit. You know, you don't have anybody to tell you're doing wrong. And then you get there and everybody else is there. Where you been? Lost. Lost. I couldn't find where I was at. I didn't know anything. That's why when you didn't have calls going on, you would go up and down the streets. You say what? You have to learn where their streets are that don't even have signs on them. Because invariably, it'll be that street that you'll be called out. And you'll be like, oh, that's the one that doesn't have the sign on it. And you have to learn different routes to that kind of a thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that kind of stuff were to happen, do you ever need that kind of light as far as the Lord's concerned? He gave you the best GPS system right there in your lap. You ever had the Holy Spirit confirm for you when you read a verse of Scripture, the Lord said, there's the way, walk ye in it. And I give you the light and the lamp. Amen. Light to the path, lamp to your feet. Amen. Right? Yep. You know what's strange is he doesn't give you the final destination. Right. A lot of times he does it like that lamp back in the old days I told you about. You can only see what's right in front of you. You move a step and you can see a little more of the path. And you move a step, you see a little more of the path. You say, what does that mean? You got to walk with the light as he is in the light. You have fellowship. What does he do? He doesn't say, yeah, go on and head that way. You can't see where you're going. Right. It's one step at a time. Now, if the Lord tells me the way to get that direction and that secrets, the things that He wants to tell me, He won't tell other people, the secret to getting that, the combination that breaks the lock is fearing Him. The Lord said, I'll tell you something because I can tell you fear and tremble when you're reading my book. How do I know I fear and tremble? When the Lord tells me something I don't like. If I fear and tremble, it's not hard if he tells me something I'm already in agreement with. That doesn't mean I fear and tremble. It's when he tells me, here's my way, walk ye in it. And I'm like, I wasn't planning on going that way. And the Lord said, that's how I want you to go. Do you ever pause to ponder about that stuff? You ever wonder how often public opinion can get you in a mess? You ever wonder because you worship the God of reputation how often you'll listen to what other people have to say instead of what God says? You ever realize what a mess you'd be in if, say, Daniel was that way? How about if the Apostle Paul was that way? Nobody agreed with the Apostle Paul's preaching. All of his contemporaries, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to kill him. They'd come in a church right behind him after he was done and say, don't listen to what he had to say. That guy's lost his mind. He's going over here to the Gentiles. He acts like he's got some special revelation from God. I don't know who he thinks he is. Can you imagine the character that Paul had to have to go contrary to everything happening that day? But could you imagine if Paul lived today, how many people had the courage of the Apostle Paul to do what God said instead of what man says? I mean, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, above the law, blameless. He was one of the big dogs and those kind of things. And the Lord took him in an entirely different path. You talk about faith. Well, what if the Lord asks you to do something you're just not comfortable with doing? Do you have enough faith to do what He says to do? You do if you fear Him. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I look at a man by the name of Richard Wanborn. He goes over there. He winds up persecuted. He winds up in the latter part of his lives in a wheelchair. They locked him up and tortured him for years and years and years. You say, why? He wouldn't bow his head. He wouldn't bend his knee. He was doing what God said to do. You know what his contemporaries did? What they were told to do. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Amen. Now, but you know what that does? That means you have to have a relationship with the Lord where you fear Him more than you fear what man can do to you. You're not to fear what men can do to you. Well, the fearing of men sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, is worried about losing your reputation, losing your friendship, losing your fellowship with your friends because God says, that's not what I want you to do. But if you get the proper fear of the Lord, it's kind of like, well, the Lord is going to work it out up there. But you don't always get justification down here. I just suggest to you that when that happens, do what God tells you to do. Leave the results up to Him. I'm not going to get in the way of somebody that doesn't do things the way I do it. That's God's business. I have to just stay in my own lane and run my own race and do what He tells me to do at 38:57. But, well, did you know what they're doing down there? No, don't care. So, well, you know, you need to go down there and do. No, not what God told me to do. God told me to do this right here. See, there's a lot of peace in that. Let me show you this thing. This is for you governmental officials. You imagine that this would be in the Bible somewhere, and it is in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and look in verse number 3. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just. Okay, how can I be just? There has to be a measuring stick. Now, before you just consider it as a governmental official, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, he that ruleth well his own household, the people will rejoice. So men, if you're ruling your household, do you rule and treat your wife as Christ loved the church? I mean, do you give her a say-so in certain things? She's right 50% of the time. Or are you just a big old ogre that, bless God, you're in charge?
Come on, brother. Amen, preacher, come on.
If you rule well, how do I rule well? How do I rule justly? Look at the last part of that. Look after the comma. What does he say there?
Ruling fear of God.
Ah. So if I fear God, then I know how to be just.
That's good. Right. That's
good. So now because he tells me, right here, it tells me exactly how to be just. If I fear God, I have to do what I'm supposed to do. And anybody I'm in charge of, I don't care if it's an entire government. I don't care if it's a country, a state, a county, a city. I don't care if it's a school classroom. If I fear God, man or woman, then you know what that'll mean? That means I'll be just in what I do. There won't be favoritism. Let me just say this about that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see if I can give you an illustration of that. Do you ever pause to wonder sometimes why people are so sensitive about you getting on to their kids? See, you see that kid. Let's just say I'll take... there's no John Smith in here, is there, today? I have Mr. and Mrs. John Smith that are here, and they got a couple of kids that are here. And Mr. and Miss John Smith come in, and their kids are hellions, and they're raising Cain and all that kind of stuff. And it looked like they got 666 and then tattooed on their head and those kind of things. And you come in, and well, that kid this and that kid that, and you need to fix this and you need to fix that and all that. But you're seeing that kid in a microcosm of that kid's life. You're seeing them in the first time in an environment, and you think you know how to fix that problem, so you're going to go and snatch a knot in their tail. Are you with me?
Yes.
And you're wondering why the mom and dad don't. Well, it could be that they're bad parents, or it could be that maybe they know something about that kid, living with that kid 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you don't know. And so you decide to take it upon yourself to straighten them out and to fix them. I'm not talking about if they're disruptive or something. You understand the context. And this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. And parents get offended by that, don't they? Because it's like, you don't know my kid like I know my kid, and you don't know that they're ACDC or PhD or they got this problem or that problem, or they got autism, or they got so on and so forth. See, you don't know that. All you see is the outward actions. You're not living with that. I had a donkey tell me one time about a lady that was... He preached a message right at the lady, man, about her taking some medicine to help her because she has some bipolar stuff and some other things going on. And I mean, man, he just stinking leveled the guns on her, man, the whole time, about to break out in a sweat. And we got done. He said, "What'd you think about that?" I said, "Not very much, brother." And he said, "Oh, don't you agree with that?" And I said, "No, not at all." He said, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. You just have to learn to trust the Lord." I said, "Let me ask you a question." And he said, "She's so upset about it." I said, "Well, you're pushing my buttons." I said, "First of all, back off a little bit."
Amen.
I said, "Have you ever lived with crazy? Do you know what that's like?"
Right.
I'm not talking about menopause, hormones. I'm talking about crazy. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, you don't know what that man's having to do in order for that lady. I said, couldn't you be happy that at least she's sitting in church? At least she's making an attempt to do something right. I said, brother, to be honest with you, if I was in your church and you just did that, me and her would not ever be back again. She's doing all she can to keep her nose above water. That's none of your business. That's a medical decision, a psychiatric decision between him and his wife, and she has to live with it, not just him. Well, I never really thought about that. I said, no, you're not thinking. Amen. You're just making a statement. Boy, you sound so bold. Just trust the Lord and all that kind of stuff. Well, see, now that's how some of you are. You see something and you see somebody here and you see them in church for an hour or 2 hours or in the parking lot and you done got them lock, stock, and barrel. You know all there is to know about them and what their problem is and how the problem ought to be and how you need to fix it and how you ought to do this and how you ought to do that. You don't fear the Lord. You don't even slow down to correct His kids. I know we got a zoo. I'm aware. I understand that. I'm a monkey trainer. I'm a lion tamer. I understand that. I get that. But the Lord will give me what I need to give to the people to take care of. There ain't none of you that are what you need to be all the time. But none of us are in a position, well, that guy's a kook, that woman's a kook, this woman needs that, that woman needs that, this kid needs that, that kid needs this, that kid needs that. Hey, listen, you've gotten so old, you forgot you were little one time. Amen. And you were a pain in the butt behind, too. A little tired, excuse me. But you were, but you forgot that. See, you thought you were a perfect angel. You thought, man, if you look up the word angel, there's my name right there. If you look up purity, that's right there by the cross. I'm right there at the foot of it. I mean, pure as a driven snow. I mean, just as white as the day is long. No, you're not. You were a devil too. Some of you were involved in things when you were 16, 17, and 18, but it's been so long ago, you got an Alzheimer's, hadn't you? You forgot the trouble you caused people along the way. Make sure I get everybody here. Nobody gets left out. And now, if you have a kid or a grandkid and all of a sudden they come to church and maybe they're tatted up and maybe they've made some mistakes and maybe they got enough holes in their head, they look like a pincushion and all that, and you finally get them to church and some braying donkey says something to you about them, how are you going to take that? Well, you want to be careful about putting your lips on God's ordained. Those are God's kids. He knows what's going on. Do you know that? God knows right now what's going on in everybody's life. You think He is interested in your opinion? Why are you in such a hurry to give it? This is just Sunday school. It's just a warm up. I'm just kind of getting, you know, prepared. Some of you, you look like you got bees in your britches this morning, man. You're just, what's the matter? What's the matter? I'm telling you, it's because you don't fear the Lord that you're so quick to make snap judgments. Amen. You think everybody ought to live like you. How'd you get where you are? Amen. It is only by God's grace that you are anybody that you are at all. Amen. Well, this one didn't do this, and this one didn't do that, and this one should do this. If that was my kid, you ever wonder why they ain't your kid? I mean, if you were such a great kid, why didn't the Lord give you a dozen? They're cheaper by a dozen anyway. If you're such a great parent. Is your quiver full of arrows? Here's the point I'm trying to make to you, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to ruling in there, that's not just for governmental officials. How about this? That Bible talks about ruling yourself. I told you it's Voltaire is the one that did it. I told you that I was given the article there. Brother Joachim gave me the article. But in that article, basically, the article boils down to this statement. He was always contrary to the Catholic Church, and he's not right on everything. I get all that. But he made a profound statement. He said, how do you know who it is that you can't make fun of or to put down? How do you know who you can't judge? The one that you feel like you can't point at, who you can't talk about. Well, that's not other people. That's you. You can talk about everybody else, but God help you if you God talks about you.
Amen.
There's nowhere in that Bible where God says you're supposed to judge what somebody else does and that God writes it down and says, I appreciate that. He tells you to be careful. He said, judge not lest you be judged. For in whatsoever manner you judge, you shall also be judged likewise. How would you like to be judged by God the way you judge other people? With about a tenth of the information. They'd have kicked me out of my previous job if I did what some of you did and tried to bring a case against somebody for with no more information than half of you have when you get ready to make an accusation against somebody. They'd laugh me out of the state attorney's office and say, you got to be kidding me, man. You don't even have reasonable suspicion, let alone probable cause. We can't take that thing. You better, whoever that is, man, you better get prepared. You're fixing to get sued for false arrest. You can't do something like that. But boy, you lock them, stock them, and jam them, put them in the jail cell. You've already decided, right? You know what's bad once you make your mind up? It's hard to persuade you against your own truth.
Amen.
You've already made up your mind. Somebody walks in the door. They're not just what your brand is. You know what you immediately do? I feel so bad. I'm leaving you out. You know what you immediately do? You've already made up your mind about them. It wouldn't matter. It's like, don't confuse me with the facts. I've already decided what's going on with that. And then you find out, well, there's this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem. Oh, well, you know, I still think I was right. How about you were right, but just leave it alone? Pastor, did you know about so-and-so? Yes. What you're saying is, if you knew about it, why didn't you do something about it? I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to try to be as gracious with them as God was with me.
Amen.
See, maybe I'm different than you are. Maybe I'm glad they're here. I feel like they're here because they're looking for some help.
Amen.
You think they're here just to destroy or lick the chocolate off your peanuts, don't you? By the way, this isn't your church. It's His.
Amen.
And He said, whosoever will. You say, what are we getting? We get weirdos. Did you look in the mirror this morning? See, you were thinking of, oh, yeah, so, yeah, you know, so-and-so is a weirdo. I was talking about you. You're plenty weird at times. You don't have it all down pat. Yeah, we get unusual people. Do you ever realize how unusual you were when you first came around the Bible-believing movement? How many of you, this is going to embarrass some of you, how many of you, when you first came into the Bible-believing movement, you felt like you were a hemorrhoid or something, man? I mean, you stuck out. How many of you felt like, yeah, I'm... See? You felt like, I don't fit in around here. These people are crazy. This is nuts. Judgment seat of Christ. What? Rightly dividing a Bible? King James only? Singing hymns? What? This is nuts. And something kept you coming. And now you're sitting here, and now people come in here, and guess what? They feel like the nut you felt like when you came in. And you're like, oh, it's good. You should know what you should tell them? I felt like a nut too. Just hang in there. Eventually you'll be all right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's important. You say, why? Because when it comes to you making a decision, think about the audacity. Old Pete's over there, John, and then they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, there's a bunch of people over there, a bunch of guys. There's 70 of them. And you know what? They're not teaching what we teach, and they're not teaching it the way we teach. And the Lord said, they're not teaching contrary to what I teach. They just don't do it like we do. Leave them alone. Can you leave them alone? You know, oftentimes the only reason you knock what somebody else is doing is because you don't have anything else to talk about.
Right.
Leave them alone. What are you going to do? Go over there and pastor it?
Come on.
Well, I don't think they should be a pastor. Okay, you go over there and pastor it?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, don't you think you should, unless it's doctrinally wrong, unless it's affecting you? No. Between them and the Lord. I think, I really believe this. I believe the Lord's big enough to fix it if He wants to fix it.
Amen.
I don't know why He's doing what He's doing. Maybe it's to give people a choice.
Right.
Maybe the Lord has that set up, and the Lord's doing that on purpose to say, there's a place at 3857, and there's the jackleg over there.
Amen.
You decide. Make a choice. Maybe it's that. Maybe if I take that away, maybe that I'm going contrary to what God wants. Maybe God's using a saw over there to give the people exactly what He wants them to have. How do you know that it's not that way? Some of you are so uncomfortable in your own skin that unless you get everybody around you to be like you and do like you and act like you and do all, unless you got, you're as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. How do you know God's not behind all of that? God's not going to get in the way of your free will. I mean, if He did, instead of trying to kill all the so-called Baptists or all the Bible believers or all of the King James only people, why didn't He start with Catholics and Muslims and Charismatics? I mean, if you were in charge of the government and you had the power to do it, probably some of you just go mow every religion down. What makes you think God doesn't give them the chance to choose? That's how God does things. It's free will. You should be here because you want to be here,
Amen.
Not because there's no other choices.
Right.
Muslims believe that they kill you and Sharia law and all that other kind of stuff. Okay. We don't believe that.
Right.
Well, why don't they? There's the fastest growing religion and this and that and the other. And the Roman Catholics are this and that and the other and all that. Okay. They know where the Holy Spirit is. They know where God is. They have a choice just like you have a choice. They're without excuse. I mean, even nature itself bears witness to them. Why is it such a big deal to you?
Right, it's good.
I bet you could eradicate 80% of the foolishness that's on the internet if you just took away people that are just speaking from a standpoint of their opinion as if they're God.
Yep, right,
that whole thing and all that slop that y'all fool around with all the time, it's just people's opinions because it's easy to sit behind a keyboard and not be held accountable for anything.
Yeah,
And the biggest portion of that stuff, you take it real because it's on the internet. Because on the internet, it must be true. Really? Could you tell me who it is that keeps an eye on that to see whether or not it's true, to see if it's filtered? You think because it's on your TikTok app or your Snapchat or your Instagram or your Facebook or your X or whatever else it might be, you think because it's on there that somebody's regulating that? And then you'll send that out quicker than you send out the gospel. I'm getting back to this in just a second. I wish you were as concerned about fear in God as you are about, I got to make sure that everybody knows about this.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Can I give you some relief? If you'd spend as much time praying for whoever your enemy is as you do constantly talking about them, honestly, is that all you have to talk about? That's the most important thing in your life is to talk about what somebody else is or isn't doing. Well, they talk about me. Okay, well, they're wasting air. It's not changing you. I mean, I talk about you every Sunday. Not really moving the needle. Well, when you talk about us, we're going to talk about you. Okay, but I talk to you and talk about you, and then it's up to you and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't hold you against you if you don't come to the altar. That's between you and Him.
Amen.
I don't judge whether I preach a good sermon by whether or not you come or repent or whatever. I mean, I don't care how high you jump. Frogs can jump. It's about how straight you run out when you jump.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means I'm just telling you what the book says. Do with it whatever you want to do with it. Well, so-and-so's not there, and so-and-so's not here, and so-and-so's not doing this, and so-and-so's not doing that. The Lord's like, oh, really? Gabriel, are you getting this? Did you get... I didn't know that. Let me just tell you, God knows about every lazy butt... man, there it is again. Excuse me. He knows about every lazy posterior sitting at the house that knows they should be in God's house. He knows that. Do you honestly think if He can't move them, you can move them? Or is the reason you bring it to the preacher's attention because you're really bringing attention to yourself? I'm here. I don't know where everybody else is. Maybe they're not here because you are here. Maybe if you weren't here, maybe they wouldn't be here or would be here. God knows about that.
This is one of those days I feel like just like morphing right into the church service. Freak everybody out on the internet. No hold back and in between. It's like, what happened? Are we fixing to take a break? I need another donut and cinnamon roll and need to change out of my footy pajamas. Let's go to Psalm 111. I'll close out for Sunday school. Psalm 111. That should give you great liberty. You know what it'll do? Do you have a problem with your mouth? You ever have a problem? You just can't. You get, I call it diarrhea of the mouth. Come on in, sis. I'm glad you made it up. 2 hour stinking drive to get here. I'm glad you made it. You ever have a problem with your mouth? Now let me just tell you how to cut down on the amount of stuff that comes out of your mouth. You cut down on the subject matter.
Amen.
You say, just stop talking. No, cut down on the subject matter. Replace the subject matter with something worth talking about.
Amen. Amen.
Now I'm going to say something with very few of you, press and company excluded. But you can learn a lot from individuals from a scholastic standpoint for this reason. They've learned that there's a lot of superfluous conversation that doesn't amount to anything. They learned that by reading. If you spent more time reading and not investigating, your conversation will change. What goes in your eye affects your
heart.
That's why you don't even know you do it. I know you're spending all your time on YouTube because you talk in modern vernacular. I don't even have to know the modern vernacular to know what's happening. You're talking with modern words that I may not even know, but I know that's because your source is visually stimulated by watching pictures and stuff on YouTube.
Right.
Or scrolling.
Right.
Instead of reading. You say, what are you telling me? I'm telling you to change the input.
That's right.
Find a subject that you don't know everything about. Not a person.
Right.
A subject. And learn about it. You will be astonished how quickly it will crowd out your desire to speak about others. Because your brain is now working overtime, having to listen. Lazy people are easy for them to talk about whatever they just saw, they talk about it. That's just a witness statement. But individuals that will apply themselves intellectually and learn something, you'll be surprised how quickly it will crowd out all of those things that you're talking about, like some of you are in junior high school. You're 60. And it's like you're reliving your past. Out comes the hair color. And now you change your attire and you're trying to, listen, I'm telling you, the guy in the mirror is not lying to you. I don't care in your brain what you think you look like, you're still ugly. You're old, your skin is sagging, you got wrinkles, your chest done lapped over your drawers. You haven't seen your shoes in a while. I don't care how much plastic you insert in your system.
Right.
How organic you eat. You still ugly. You say, why? You're getting old.
Amen.
But here's the bad thing. Your talk is not matching your walk. You're still talking like a juvenile delinquent. That's what they do in school. Did you see? Did you hear? What about? Did you? You don't fear the Lord. If you feared the Lord, it'd be like, hey, I'm preparing for the test. I'm preparing for the terror of the Lord. I don't care what you're doing. I'm preparing for the terror of the Lord. Right? So the problem is your input. Some of you, it would do you a world of good. Don't throw up in your mouth.
to go back to school. Why? Because you need the discipline of controlling yourself that is just always enamored with world events or with other people's lives or other people's business. Hey, Pinocchio, let me help you with something. If you go to school and you're held accountable for tests and all that, what has that done? Do you know why tests are given? It's not just to tell the teacher how good a teacher they are, but it's to see whether or not you're taking seriously what they're teaching you. To see whether or not it's sticking. You know what a lot of teachers learn pretty quick? You're in class, but you're not learning anything. You know what a lot of preachers learn? You're in class. But when the test comes, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. Lord, it was the devil. Lord, it was so-and-so. Trouble, trials come your way. It's like, Lord, I don't know why. I could see you doing it to him, but why are you doing it to me? You hadn't been paying attention in class. Amen. It would do you some good to have the discipline of going back to school. Well, you know, preacher, Do you want to get that other under control? I'm going to say this. It's going to be hurtful. I know we're late. Let those in real quick. Listen to me. This is going to be hurtful, okay? Oh, boy.
Come on, preacher.
Tithes might dry up after this. I'm going to tell you why you do it. Your brain is empty. Your mind is vacant. You got a hole in your head. That's why there's always a place for that stuff to find a residence. Because there's nothing in there.
Amen.
You don't fear the Lord, or you'd be like, I don't need to know about that. I got enough trouble keeping myself straight. People say on a regular basis, I'm not the poster child now, but just hear me out. Preacher, you hear about this? No? Why? I don't know how you have time to do all of that. I don't know what's going on in whatever the car guy's life is or something. I can't think of his name right now. The ex guy, whatever his name is. Why don't you know about that, preacher? I'm too busy with other stuff to put that in. What does knowing that do for me?
Amen.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen, preacher? Joe Biden's going to die and Hillary Clinton's going to come back. Oh, okay. You know that's coming. I know death's coming.
Yes.
Well, didn't you read? No. My source becomes my strength. But it also becomes my protection because it fills my mind, listen to me, and my heart with the right information that prevents the other stuff from getting in there. It protects me. Flip that on. We flipped on something the other day. And after about the first thing, I looked at her, she looked at me, and I'm like, and she's like, it was like, wow, holy cow, we couldn't, you say why? It didn't fit. It wasn't just vile, wicked, ungodly, it just didn't fit. You make too much room for the wrong stuff. And because the devil knows that, you give him that piece of ground, and when he does, you know what he does?